Harvesting tomatoes at the peak of flavor is both an art and a science. Muir Glen Organic tomatoes are grown in rich, fertile soil with clean water and long California summer days, then ripened on the vine. Once they're ready, everyone works furiously to get them from the field to the can as fast as possible for maximum flavor. It takes a lot of hard work, but it's worth it. Tomatoes grown with heart, picked when perfect, and made with care. Follow Muir Glen Organic on Instagram or visit online at muirglen.com. It's A Couple Cooks, the podcast with Sonia and Alex Overheiser. We're a couple on a mission to find the tastiest, good-for-you eats you can make in your kitchen. Because the way we eat can make a meaningful difference.
Join us as we chase after real good food through stories, recipes, and conversations about cooking at home and eating well. Welcome to the A Couple Cooks podcast. I'm Alex.
And I'm Sonia.
And we're glad you're here.
This podcast is about food, love, and everything in between. Thank you so much for listening. In our last episode, we had a wonderful guest, Julia Tertian, who shared about her new cookbook called Small Victories. Now, small victories are just little tips and tricks that you can use to build kitchen confidence. And we had a little giveaway last episode. We have two winners. And in order to enter the giveaway, Alex, that's the question, what is your most recent small victory in the kitchen? Right, Alex? Most recent or most memorable?
A.
Okay.
A small victory in the kitchen.
A small victory.
We're hoping you have one.
So we had so many fun answers for small victories that I just wanted to share a few. Does that sound good, Alex?
I love it.
So I'm going to share quite a few of them because there were so many. First of all, Audra said her latest small victory was buying new pots and pans and kitchen towels. She said the new essentials are kicking her butt into gear. Love it. Suzanne said her favorite small victory is having 2 to 3 go-to breakfasts every day to keep her from starting out the day in an unhealthy way, which is awesome. Great idea. Would love to hear what those 2 to 3 breakfasts are, Suzanne. Sarah said that her small victory is that she tries to keep her kitchen clean. She has a small kitchen apartment, and when it's organized and everything is put away, it makes cooking all the more fun. Now, that sounds like something you could get behind, Alex.
I could get behind that. Clean the kitchen before you start cooking again.
We have a new rule. I mean, we kind of had that rule already, but we were getting a little lax on it.
The rules being strongly enforced.
Alex is really kicking my butt into gear. All right. We have so many other small victories. A couple more I love are Megan said that her small victory is prepping her lunches to take to work, which makes life so much easier. And plus, she's not faced with the boring, I just threw this lunch together lunch at work. Perfect. David shared his favorite tomatillo salsa recipe. He said it was a great salsa verde and it's become a staple for his life and family. He realized when he made the salsa that good food doesn't have to be complex or take up 3 hours out of the day. And that reminded me of a previous podcast. We had Rick Bayless here on the show, the amazing Mexican chef, cookbook author, and overall great guy, who shared his favorite recipe for roasted tomatillo salsa. So if you want to check back to that episode, do you remember which episode number that was, Alex?
I think it was episode 14, Mexican Flavor with Rick Bayless.
Right. So check back there if you want to find that recipe. Couple more small victories. Jill said she has a small victory of being patient when teaching her kids to navigate the kitchen. I love this one.
That sounds like a big victory.
Yeah, good point. Starting small with helping to put together their school lunches, all the way through her daughter recently helping chop veggies for a chicken pot pie. It's been a wonderful way to spend time with them while allowing them to grow and learn. I love that. And the last one I wanted to share is from Mindy. She says, mastering a few healthy, easy blender sauces, thanks to A Couple Cooks and many other fantastic food blogs, has helped her bump up her homemade tacos, eggs, burgers, salads, grain bowls, etc. So we loved all of these great small victories. And thank you so much again for weighing in over on acouplecookspodcast.com. And we wanted to say congratulations to winners Jill and Taylor for winning the copies of Small Victories.
Before we dig into today's podcast, last weekend you left me all alone here in Indianapolis and you ran off gallivanting across the world.
I did. I went to Austin, Texas. Shout out to all our Austin listeners.
And you seemed to not have enough time to call me and fill me in on all the day because you were just eating tacos the whole day. So tell me, what were you eating down there?
I had so many great meals when I was in Texas. Some things that stick out are, of course, the tacos. I had a really good roasted sweet potato and caramelized onion taco at a place called Taco Deli.
Yum.
I had a roasted portobello and ancho aioli sauce taco at Torchy's, which was fantastic. And then I went to a fun place. It was called the Beer Plant, and it was a vegan gastropub. I had some buffalo cauliflower wings that were fantastic. And
do cauliflowers have wings?
They do. And a carrot cake. It was outstanding. So those are some of the highlights that stand out for me. Austin is full of great eats.
I'm a little sad that I didn't get to go.
I know. Next time.
So do you have a favorite foodie city we should visit? Because Austin definitely lived up to its reputation as being food central.
So just let us know on Instagram at A Couple Cooks or on our website, acouplecookspodcast.com, and click the link for this episode. Well, in contrast to Austin, the weather has gotten quite chilly here in Indiana, and all of our beautiful summer produce is long gone. Our tomatoes are gone. So in today's episode, we wanted to talk a little bit about preserving that summer flavor with canned tomatoes and all the different recipes you can make with canned tomatoes.
Unfortunately, I don't have a recipe to share for actually canning your own tomatoes, but that's a skill I hope to add to my canning repertoire maybe next year. This year, I stuck to pickles and other easier to take on methods.
Yeah, that would definitely be a small victory. All right, but usually Alex and I, we use some store-bought canned tomatoes for most of our tomato cooking, and we wanted to share some recipes today. We also wanted to get the opinion of a friend, so we'll be calling someone. We're phoning a friend a little bit later, but we have a recipe we wanted to share with you that is a really great weeknight meal or an easy meal to whip up for company. We just made it for a friend of ours who came over, and it is roasted shrimp and tomatoes with creamy polenta.
What's polenta?
Well, polenta is basically a fancy Italian name for porridge.
Yum. Sounds expensive.
Well, it's actually a very humble ingredient, Alex. It is just cornmeal and water.
Oh.
So when we first started cooking, I thought polenta was a super fancy thing. I went to the store and tried to find polenta, but I realized it's actually just cornmeal. And you will see some packages now and then. I think there are some polenta grits type of packaging out there, but you can just use straight up cornmeal and you whisk it together with water and it makes kind of a creamy porridgey base for some deliciousness to put on top. Now, some restaurants you'll see will serve it as a side dish, or you can serve it as a main dish with a topping on top. So in this case, we've roasted some tomatoes and shrimp together. And let's see, I think we also have some onion and garlic to give it a little bit of flavor, and some shrimp, and then just a bit of lemon juice and parsley. And it actually adds a whole lot of flavor for that topping. And it's really just savory, delicious. So you'll go ahead and oven roast that while you're making your polenta. And then you pour the polenta in kind of a shallow bowl and then put your shrimp and tomato topping over the top.
And that end result really is just feels way more fancy than the effort you're putting in.
Yeah, it's really a cozy meal. And I think it would work perfectly, as we said, for just a weeknight meal or a meal with friends. The bottle of wine, I think we had a bottle of wine and some bread and maybe a side salad. It makes a great meal.
So do you have any more recipes lined up, or should we phone a friend?
I think we should phone a friend. How about our friend Melissa the Faux Martha?
Brilliant idea.
We've had Melissa on a few past podcasts, and we thought for this episode we would give her a call to ask her for some ideas using canned tomatoes.
Hello.
Hey, Melissa. It's Sonia and Alex.
Hi, guys.
So we're doing a show about canned tomatoes, and we know they vary pretty widely in terms of taste for different brands of canned tomatoes. And we know you love Muir Glen tomatoes. You love working with those. And so we're just wondering, do you have 2 to 3 recipe ideas for using canned tomatoes in your everyday lifestyle?
I do. You know, dinner arrives at like 5 o'clock every day as a surprise. Like, I didn't know it was coming. And I have a 3-year-old, her name is Hallie. So she's asking me for dinner, and I'm like, shoot, I didn't think about it. And here you are again. So canned tomatoes, honestly, truly, are my lifesaver during the week, especially Muir Glen. I love the taste of theirs. They're not as acidic. I've cooked with a lot that are super acidic, and they take a long time to cook the acidity out and a bunch of sugar. But I just really like the even flavor of the Muir Glen canned tomatoes. So I have developed a couple recipes actually for myself to save myself at 5 o'clock, because I know that's coming, but during the day, I don't know it's coming. So I'm helping myself out a little. I have a 20-minute tomato soup recipe.
That sounds good. It is so good.
I actually use their, I used Muir Glen's fire roasted tomatoes just to give some depth of flavor. I saute some onions and garlic, and then use water. Water is, an ingredient. I could talk with you guys. If you ever do a podcast on water, please call me. It's like a main ingredient that gets overlooked. So water.
Wait, hold on. You have to stop there. So sorry. What about water is so exciting in this recipe?
You know, tomato soup can sometimes be so tomato-y, like ketchup-y. Like, you have to dilute it. And a lot of things do well with diluting. Some things don't do well. So a little bit of water gets the texture right. And then I cook that down. I puree it really fast and then add a little bit of cream. I actually add cream at the very end. So the cream doesn't actually get cooked. It goes into the blender. And then I pour, this sounds disgusting, from my blender into bowls, and it's perfect. It is the best tomato soup. You could add butter in it and call it bulletproof tomato soup, but it comes together in 20 minutes.
I love that. Awesome. So trendy right now.
Oh yeah, so trendy.
So what would you serve with this tomato soup to make it a meal? Would you have a salad? Would you have a grilled cheese?
I guess I would do a salad, but then I would have to chop. I'd probably just get a loaf of bread or make a grilled cheese. It's one of those, especially this tomato soup, it comes together so fast. It's like, it's our fastest meal. It's our pantry meal. And that's kind of why I like to cook with canned tomatoes, because it's in the pantry. It's always there. I keep it stocked. I actually buy it from Costco and I keep it stocked. So if the world ends, I will be making tomato soup, and you guys can come over, but probably we'll just
come over to your place if the world ends.
Yeah.
All right. So we've got a quick tomato soup. What's another recipe that you make with canned tomatoes?
So if we're talking like super tomato-y, I also make this 4-ingredient tomato sauce. You guys have probably heard of it. It's, I'm going to say her name wrong. Marcella Hazan. Do you know?
I think it's Marcella.
Marcella Hazan. Yes, hopefully that's a little better. I make her recipe, which is, that's bulletproof. Talk about bulletproof. That has a stick of butter, a hefty can of tomatoes, an onion, and salt. I think that's it. And you just cook that. I cook it in 30 minutes and it's ready. Some people would say cook it longer, but it is the most velvety, smooth tomato sauce that comes together in 30 minutes. I also put that one through the blender too. I kind of use tomatoes in my Vitamix hand in hand.
And I find that's a recipe that if you are trying to train yourself on knowing when to salt to taste and when flavors are ready and put together, you taste that with a spoon every 5 or 10 minutes and you know it's ready when your eyes roll back into the back of your head, because all of a sudden around that 30th minute, it just becomes, I don't know, magic.
I love that. I love that tasting as you go to teach yourself how to taste and then how to add an ad lib. Cooking is so much more about ad-libbing. Writing recipes really scares me because there's so much ad-libbing that goes on, and every kitchen is different. I love that.
All right, so we've got tomato soup. We've got tomato sauce. Do you have a third recipe for us?
Yes, I do. So this recipe kind of saved us after we had our little girl. She's 3 now. But when we were looking for recipes, like we had to cook after we had a baby, I started working on some quick recipes. And so I made a chickpea Indian bowl, and it's tomatoes, onion, garlic, a whole bunch of spices. You just let that cook, add in some chickpeas, serve it over rice. And so in the time that it takes the rice to cook, my sauce is ready. And now, because I have a picky 3-year-old, they just turn picky. She was such a good eater and she's turned so picky and she doesn't like tomatoes. So like, I don't tell her I'm giving her tomato soup. I think I called it red soup. I actually made it this week. I called it red soup, and spaghetti sauce is spaghetti sauce. It's not tomato sauce. So with this sauce, I actually have to puree it a little bit before I add in the chickpeas. And then I have to smash the chickpeas, although she eats hummus by the gallon, to serve it to her over rice with some yogurt, cilantro, if I have it. And it's just a hearty, warm meal that also comes together in just about 30 minutes too.
Well, I love that one, especially. I really want you to make that for me sometime.
I will.
All right. Well, you talked about cooking for your daughter and your husband. Are there other people that you love cooking for? Because that's what it's all about, right? It's not about the food. It's about the people. So who do you love cooking for?
Yeah. I mean, it's funny becoming a parent, cooking dinner has just changed. Cooking during the week, it means something different than cooking during the weekend. During the week, it's just, we are just feeding our bellies. We are surviving. And during the weekend, we can slow down a little bit and cook the slow way, the way I'm accustomed to cooking before she came along. I do love teaching her how to cook, and she loves to be in the kitchen. She has a plastic knife that she pulls out that she likes to help me chop. And it's funny, when she's in the kitchen, I really love cooking with her right now. She will eat things if she chops them or if she participates in making it. Even if she doesn't eat the final dish, she will eat as she goes. So in a way, she's learning, kind of like you were talking about, Alex, learning to cook. She's tasting as she goes, which is just so cool to see through the lens of a 3-year-old. And cooking on the weekends, gosh, that's been like a little bit of a tricky thing for us. We eat early because we have a little one. So the people that we're eating with usually on the weekends are people with other children. We're eating fast. It's a little bit more hurried. Life is just in a different stage right now. But in the old days, I love to have my table full. We have a table that seats about up to 8, and I loved every seat full and knees smashed together. And I know those days will come again, and they come at a rare time, but mostly we're eating dinner to survive. So I have a bunch of quick dinners, and that's why I love canned tomatoes so much right now.
And can we find all 3 of these recipes on your blog?
You can. They are there.
Give us the info.
Yes. So go to the FAUX, not the fox. I would think way too highly of myself. Some people call me the Fox Martha. It's the faux Martha. It's so true. And then I'm so embarrassed that someone would think I would call myself a fox. But it's the faux, F-A-U-X, Martha.com. And you can search in the search bar. And some of these recipes are actually at the bottom of my homepage. I have a lot of my quick recipes that we make week in and week out.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Melissa. It's always a pleasure to chat, and I can't wait to eat those Indian chickpeas together sometime.
Yes, I hope soon. Thanks for calling, guys.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right, bye. Bye.
Food that's made with love just tastes better. And love has many forms, like passion for a job well done, devotion to the land, camaraderie between coworkers, and making and sharing a home-cooked meal together. For Muir Glen Organic, love and respect for tomatoes abounds. They see it every day with each and every person who works with their tomatoes, from when they're planted to when it's time for the tomatoes to be harvested and canned. Everything they do is in service of making the perfect tomato. And the perfect tomatoes come when every step is treated with care and respect. Respect for the earth, for each other, and for the cook that puts homemade meals on the table for the ones they love.
Tomatoes grown with heart, picked when perfect, and made with care. Follow Muir Glen Organic on Instagram or visit online at muirglen.com.
I love what Melissa was saying about cooking with her three-year-old, Hallie, and just how transformational it can be to cook for people you love. I know we've seen that in our own life when we've cooked with our niece and nephews. We cook with our family quite a bit. And a lot of times, instead of going out to eat with friends, we'll decide to cook instead.
And I think that brings a lot of stress to a lot of people, the idea that I have to have a meal on the table by the time guests show up or family comes to town. But we like to just invite them into the process. I don't know if they like receiving it, but I think they do.
I hope so.
That we'll just cook together. Sometimes we'll even walk to the grocery store together, have kind of those conversations with loved ones through the process of cooking and eating instead of just at the table. You can definitely save a lot of money and a lot of extra background noise than if you're going to go wait in a restaurant with a group and try to get a table and rush through dinner. It can be a more relaxed affair.
So that's our challenge to you this week, is to maybe instead of deciding to go out, decide to cook instead. Try a really simple recipe and just try to focus on enjoying the process.
And invite those loved ones into the process. You don't have to have everything all on your own shoulders.
Exactly. Invite them over to cook with you so they can share the fun as well. All right, well, that's our episode for this week. As always, we would love to hear from you on social media or on our website. We're at A Couple Cooks on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And our website is acouplecooks.com. We have lots of fun, accessible, easy, and delicious recipes that we'd love for you to try. You can also head over to acouplecookspodcast.com, click the link to this episode, and tell us any of your thoughts along the way.
Any of their thoughts?
Well, yeah. I mean, even if it's not related to anything we talked about, we would love to hear it.
Sonia, I'd like to know how your fantasy football team is doing.
This is the first year that I've participated on a fantasy football team. So it's actually making the process pretty fun. Because generally football isn't my most enjoyed activity. So we'd love to hear about your fantasy football, your dog, anything you want to share with us.
But especially if you're having a good time cooking with loved ones. And don't forget to give us a rating in your podcast app or recommend the show to a friend. Word of mouth is the best way for A Couple Cooks podcast to be known around the world, and we'd love it if you helped out.
Oh, did you know that we have a listener in Australia?
I saw that. She's really
wanted to win some giveaway for Australia.
So we will work on that worldwide giveaway, or at least a South Pacific giveaway of some sort.
There we go. All right, that's all for this episode. Thank you again for listening. We'll talk to you next time.